Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that you are having a wonderful day where you are. It's a beautiful day right now. It's clouding up. There's a forecast of rain and thunderstorms later this afternoon. It's certainly warm enough for that to happen. But nevertheless, it is a beautiful day now. And the best part about this day is the fact that we get to know the Lord in it. And the fact that we get to meet together with our Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But obviously, more than anyone, I thank our Lord. He's our Creator. He is our Redeemer. He is our wonderful Savior, our wonderful guide. He loves us with an eternal love. He's brought us to Himself. He wants us to know Him in a personal relationship and walk with Him. And since He's given us this time and that's His desire for it, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the day that You have given. And Lord, thank You most of all that in this day we get to know You. Father, thank You, O God, for Your eternal love for us. Father, thank You for Your salvation, O Lord. Father, thank You, O God, for bringing us to that salvation. And O God, the newness of life that we have in You. Fathers, we're here this afternoon or whenever it is that this is being watched. Lord, open our minds and our hearts to hear from You, to know You, Lord, to grow in You. Father, speak to us, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, whenever we read God's Word, anywhere from Genesis to the Revelation, anytime we think about the truths of God's Word, they are always built on that foundation of trusting the Lord, certainly in terms of salvation, for victory over sin, for everyday life, for living, for handling that situation that we find ourselves in. Over and over, we are told to trust the Lord, to put our trust in the Lord. But why is that? What real solid reasons do we have to put our trust and our confidence in the Lord? Well, as we continue looking at Psalm 37, we see some very concrete reasons as to why. As I've already shared with you, this is one of my favorite psalms, and this is one of my favorite passages within a psalm, within all of God's Word. As we look at these verses this afternoon, or whenever it is that you're watching this, I'm filming it in the afternoon, so that's why I keep saying this afternoon. But as we look at verses 23 through 26, a very short passage, very short group of verses within this psalm, we are shown and reminded of some very concrete reasons as to why we can, in fact, trust the Lord. And so look at these verses to begin with. We'll read over them, and then we see some key thoughts that come out of them. Again, beginning in verse 23, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing." Why is it that we should trust the Lord? Well, look at the reasons that we see, and that we're going to list out several, but you could probably list several times, many times more than these that we're going to discuss. What are the real, concrete reasons to trust the Lord? Well, as we begin looking at these verses, the first thing we see is the fact that He guides us. Look at the very first part of verse 23. "The steps of a man are established by the Lord." You know, this world we live in is confusing. Life is confusing. And we are constantly having to make decisions. And many times, you can almost say most of the time, we really don't know with certainty what to do in and of ourselves. But God has in fact promised to guide us, obviously through His Word. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so our first frame of reference, our first source of trying to find guidance is the fact to listen to the Lord through His Word. But then also God speaks to us through His Spirit. You think about what we read over in Isaiah. When we read in Isaiah chapter 30 and in verse 21, Isaiah 30 and verse 21, where it says, "Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left." Obviously, you know, we need to confirm what we think we're hearing from the Lord through His Word, because He'll never go against anything His Word says. But God will, in fact, guide us. He will order circumstances. He will unmistakably open doors, unmistakably close doors. He'll lead our heart. Again, needs to always be confirmed through the Word, but God Himself guides us. And many times, you know, He'll guide us even if we don't, quote, feel it, if you will. I remember hearing J. Vernon McGee one time talk about the point in time earlier in his life in ministry when he had been called by two churches at exactly the same time. And he was trying to make the decision which one to take. They both looked good. He had no real firm leading either way. He prayed, still didn't, quote, feel anything, and made the decision. He said to this day, he really couldn't, on a human level, surface level, couldn't really tell you why he chose one church over another one. But in hindsight, he could look back and he could clearly see that was God's guidance, because the other church that he didn't know it at the time, soon after that began to drift away from the Lord and His Word and the commitment to walking with God. He didn't know it. There's no signs or evidence that he saw of it at that time, but God was guiding him. We can trust God because He guides us, even if we don't know it, certainly through His Word, through a leading of the Spirit confirmed by His Word, and sometimes even we don't know it, but as long as we're walking in obedience unto the Lord, God will in fact guide us through this very confusing world. We might not understand where we are or where we're going, but God does. And we can trust God because He does, in fact, guide us. But then notice, secondly, He establishes us. Still in verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord. It's as if God is planting our every step. You know, just like I enjoy hiking. And if you hike on rocks that are slick or a little bit steep, you want to make sure that you're anchored down, that you've got firm footing. A couple of years ago for Christmas, Jane Remington gave me a very nice set of hiking boots that I had been admiring. And the grip on them is phenomenal, the way they bite in. That pales in comparison to God. As we follow Him, follow that guidance we just talked about, it's as if God anchors our steps so that we do not slip. We can trust that God will, in fact, establish our steps. We can trust Him. We can rest in Him. We're more secure in Him than we are on flat, level ground. It might seem to be a slick rock, but if God's planting our steps, we are, in fact, on completely safe and secure. But look what else we see in this passage. And I hate to run quickly, but there's so many of them, and I want to make sure that we can see all of them at one time. We're reminded once more of the fact, number three, He loves us. Look what we see in the latter part of verse 23, and He delights in His way. You know, you think about the eternal love that God has for us. In fact, as Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. Why can we trust God? How can we not trust God, this one who loves us so much, who knew everything about us, every mistake and failure we'd ever commit, but created us and brought us into this world anyway? Who knew everything about us but sent His Son to die upon the cross for us? Who knew everything about us but sent His Spirit to convict us and to bring us into salvation? Who knew every failure we would ever experience and commit and bring on ourselves, both before and after the time of our salvation, and yet He chose to save us. We are in fact loved with an everlasting love. Child of God, you are personally, deeply, eternally loved by God. Our weak, finite little brains can't comprehend how much God loves us. And we can rest securely in the guidance and the care and the provision of one whose love for us is so great. You know, whatever it is you're facing today, child of God, understand that the Father deeply loves you. And whatever it may be, He guides you through or allows into your life, whatever this chapter may be, God's love for you has been forever proven at Calvary. You can trust Him in the midst of it. But not only does he love us, but notice as well, he lifts us. Look at verse 24. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hands. You know, we see this in so many ways. Obviously, salvation, a beautiful picture of God lifting us up. Also, the cleansing after sin. When we've sinned and we confess that to the Lord, the wonderful lifting up of his cleansing and his restoration. Also, in times of failure, it's amazing how God lifts us up. You know, I remember probably the seminary class that I benefited the most from was taught by Ron Dunn, and the title of the class was God's Way with His Servants, and Dr. Dunn simply looked at various biblical characters at the way that God worked in their lives, and with the point being that God still works in our lives that way. And I remember when we talked about Moses and, of course, his failure, he made the observation, he repeated it with other characters as well because it became evident there as well, but he made the observation that failure is neither fatal nor final. Yes, many times there are consequences. We're not going to take away from that. But there is a wonderful way that God will lift us up from failure. That's not to gloss over sin. That's not to gloss over the consequences of it in any size, shape, form, or fashion. But there is a wonderful way, and all of Scripture testifies of how God, in fact, lifts his people up from their failure. Listen, you may be going through a difficult time, and quite frankly, you know, it may be some time that your actions brought about or maybe intensified or made it worse. There is a wonderful way that God will in fact lift you up if you trust him. We have a lifting God. God will in fact lift up his people. And as we face life, we need to understand that he will lift us even from the lowest point in our lives. We can trust him. Look what else we see. And again, I know we're moving through these quickly. There's several of them, but I want us to see them all. He provides for us. We can trust him because God provides for his people. Look at verse 25. I have been young and now I am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Now think who wrote this. This was obviously the Holy Spirit inspired it, but David was the one that the Holy Spirit inspired to write this. You think about all that David saw. David knew from firsthand experience just how evil and wicked and harsh and cruel and sinful people could be in this world can be. And yet what is David saying as he looks back on his life? And in old age looking back, he said, you know, I've never seen a time where God failed his people. I've seen a lot of evil. I've seen a lot of wickedness. Quite frankly, David had done that, some of that himself. We won't gloss over that. But David, as he was sitting in his old age, looking back over his life, he said, but you know, I've never seen God fail his people. You think about what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You know, it's springtime and we have birds nesting several places around our house. We enjoy watching them. There's even a bird nesting on the glass, on the ornament or the wreath on the front door. And we're able to look through the door and see the birds already had one set of hatchings and the second group is hatching now. Our Father feeds them. And if our Father feeds the birds, how much more are we his children worth unto him? Verse 27, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies, how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. You know, a few moments ago I came home, walked our dog, so he had a little bit of a time off the lead and be able to take care of his business. And just looking out through the woods, you saw what, quite frankly, we call our weeds. But it's amazing how beautiful they are. And if God so clothes the weeds, will he not do so for us? And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? For the Gentiles, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink, what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You think what we read in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you know, all means all. We can in fact trust God to meet our every single need. God does in fact wonderfully provide for us, and we can in fact trust him. But another reason we can trust him is the fact that he shapes us. Look at the very first part of verse 26. All day long, talking about the righteous man, he is gracious and lends. Why? Because God has made him to be more like himself. You know, in every situation that we are in, God is using that not only for our ultimate good, but part of that ultimate good is to make us more like himself. You think about what we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he'd be the firstborn among many brethren. Many times God sends us into situations, allow them to come into our life, to make us more like him, to mold us, to shape us, to grow us. God, as I once heard a pastor say, never waste time or circumstances. Wherever it is that you're in right now, God is using it to grow you, to deepen you, to ultimately bless you, and to make you a blessing to others. He shapes us. But then look lastly, number 7, he blesses us. Look at 26b, and his descendants are a blessing. And you think what that means. Not only does God bless us, but there's a blessing for our descendants. So you think about what that means. You ask any parent, what would be more important, to know that God was going to bless them or God was going to bless their children? Again, I think about Ron Dunn when he was preaching on the life of David and talked about when David desired to build the temple and God did not allow him to. And God said, no, but your son will build the temple. That wasn't a cut. You ask any man what would mean more to him, that he would have been able to build the temple or knowing that his son would be blessed and used by God to build the temple. So much more important to him. The wonderful blessings that God pours upon us, not only upon us, but on the generations after us. What a reason to trust God. From the guidance right now to generations after us. What a God we have to trust. And I pray that whatever situation you're in to this day, that you will in fact trust our Lord. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you that you're a God worthy of trust. And Lord, as we go through our life through this day and every situation, may we truly trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you go through this day, I hope you go with it in fellowship with our God who's worthy of our trust. I pray that you'll see him work and move, and that you too will be able to testify that God is worthy of our trust.